say a prayer. Dear Lord, may your word be spoken and heard for the love of Jesus, the living word. Amen. This is going to date me. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's...
Superman.
You know what I'm talking about. That was a lovely
good job.
Faster than a speeding bullet. I'm all more able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I used to thrill when I heard that coming on the exclusive black and white TV when I was a kid. We had to stop after 5,430 miles. return. He thought, if I could raise a dollar for 24 million Canadians, that'd be great. Guess how much money cancer research has been raised? Actually, Terry Fox. $775 million from one man's superhero. You see, your faith, I'm not saying these are necessarily people of faith, they may be people of faith, but they have made an extraordinary effort to do something important in their lives. Christ has given us an important job to do in our lives, to make disciples, to make people who actually put their, what they think and what they believe into action to make a difference in the world. That's an important call. It's, I believe, why we're here. Yes, we have a thrift shop, we've got the Sunday Children and choir and band, we do all these wonderful things. We've got an auction sale, the Max Civil auction going on downstairs, we've got people who do administrative work. But it is my sense that we're going to follow this Great Commission and actually send something into the world. Send something, not just that's going to last 50 years like Super Highway Bridge, but send something of eternal value in the world that we can be part of. Why I'm telling you this, why I think we are part of this, it isn't just a paid God in the plain clothes in front. I think it's about all of us, because let's look at Genesis chapter 28. Anybody watch the show This Is Us? Some dysfunction going on in any family, some challenges. Well, if you want to read Genesis, the first part of the Bible, chapters 28 to 35, you'll read about a wonderful dysfunctional family. And the main character is this guy we just heard about, named Jacob. Aaron, you did a fantastic job. Well done on that reading of Genesis. Written, I don't know, 3,000 years ago, and you get to read it in English about this guy named Jacob. He is a fellow who, along with the Jewish community around the world, they were remembering Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Day. Today is New Year's Day for the Jewish people. And they will say, as part of their liturgy, as part of their worship yesterday, because they worship on Saturday, we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fellow we heard about today. So there is something about this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that is important to them. Abraham, they understand, they would be the God of Abraham, because Abraham was the one who trusted God. He heard the call, took his family, and trusted God. Righteousness was credited to him. He and his wife had a child. Beyond their childbearing years, it was a miracle. Isaac was born. Isaac means one who laughs. Isaac. And Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob, do you know what his name means? Jacob means deceiver. So anybody here a twin? Is anybody here a twin? Do you want to admit that you're a twin? Jacob was a twin, and his older brother is Esau. Esau came out of the womb first. And guess who is grasping Esau's ankle as he's coming out of the womb? Look at him. The little baby Jacob was grasping the heel of his older brother when he's born. He's like, well, let me get it first. His name is called Jacob because it means grasper. He grasped his brother's ankle. And all through his life, between when his father Isaac is dying, and he's about to give his blessing to the oldest son, whose name is Esau, the older one who came out of the womb first, seconds are over. And instead, Jacob does the big switch. And he stands in and deceives the blind old man Isaac, and he gets the blessing. But he knows he's made a mistake, he's on the run, and he's pleading the scene. Reading you heard from Aaron this morning, he's on the run, he's on the land, he's living out a homeless person, I guess you'd say, out in the countryside, and he uses a rock as a pillow. He did not bring his thermal rest, he did not bring his tent, he's using a rock as a pillow. This is a desperate guy, let's face it, he's desperate. He knows he's done wrong, he's told his brother's blessing, he's out there having a snooze, or maybe he's exhausted, and Airbnb wasn't available. So he's using rocks. And then Led Zeppelin jumps in his head. He's like, no, no, no. The song, Stairway to Heaven. Literally, he has this dream of heaven and the angels ascending and descending. They're the prep crew. They're getting ready for the big bopper who's coming. And
And in the scriptures it says, the Lord himself stood right by Jacob, the deceiver, the grasper, the con artist. God is standing right there in his feet. And what does this God say? You know your grandpa, Abraham? Do you know your dad, Isaac? He goes, anything. My name turns out, what are you talking about? Well, the promise I gave them, they would be the father of a great nation, and all the land would be theirs, and then the whole earth would be blessed through your family. That's your promise, too. And Jacob's going, well, no way. Me? I'm imagining him saying that. But in the dream, that's what happens. The spirit having angels, the promise, is his promise, too. And if you trace it 42 generations later, the whole family of the earth is blessed by the seed of Abraham in the Virgin Mary, in Jesus, who is why there is a church called Christ Church. The whole world is being blessed because of that promise that God keeps. Abraham and Rebecca, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, and Jacob and his family. So, why tell the story of Jacob to you here on Sunday? Jacob, the deceiver, the grasper, the con artist, there's a little bit of Jacob in all of us. Am I right? There's a little bit of Jacob in all of us. Or am I the only one? I'm the only one. No, I wasn't. So I describe that superhero disciple-making thing as you and I are in partnership of the imperfect. The partnership of the imperfect. We're not perfect, and yet we're called into this lifestyle, into this commission. We have, like the First Nations people who have forgotten some of their culture, and they're trying to reclaim it. Michelle, thank you for telling us about that. As Christians, we're trying to reclaim, go back to our roots, and realize that this commission that Jesus gave to those first disciples is for us to reclaim the language, the power, the teaching of this commission, why God bothered to send his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end, that all who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. You can look that up in John chapter 3, verse 16, one of Jesus' beloved friends. So it's about believing. And then going a little deeper. You see, discipleship means recognizing that God is the boss. And that teaching, like all of the on earth has been given to me, that teaching grates with our society. It rubs us the wrong way. I want to be boss of me. I want to be my own boss. Am I right? People admire God's mind. My whatever it is, it's all about me. And so, for us to say that disciple making is learning to be a disciple or discipline learned from someone else who is the master, it means I have to lay down my will. Not I still think, it's not that I'm pre-programmed. I need to really think about this because it means surrendering my will to one who is better, more beautiful, more forgiving. So that's a process. So Jesus. He invited his disciples to take a six-week course. You know, he invited them to come and see, simply to follow him. Now we do have a six-week course, it's called Revive. And it's in three sessions of 6 weeks. And you might have to come along with that. It's on Monday nights. It starts at 7 o'clock, October the 20th. And we'll learn more about what it means to be a person who's immersed in reading and memorizing scripture so that we can grow into this relationship that God gives us in Christ, because we can't see him, we can't physically follow him, but we can still follow him and learn and be his disciples. So there is a movie called The Incredibles. Anybody heard of the movie The Incredibles? There's The Incredibles 1 and then there's The Incredibles 2. In the first one, there's Mr. Incredible, but the second one is interesting, Elastigirl. Elastigirl gets in the frozen one because they're helping too. And then there's three kids. So the youngest one is the baby. His name is Jack. Jack-Jack. And Jack-Jack is he's just a toddler. He's still in his baby seat, whatever. And when he's having breakfast, his x-ray vision, he's just wrecking havoc in the house. And he's burning the furniture and burning the toast with his x-ray vision. He's learning to control his superpowers. What I'm suggesting we're sending into the world as we reclaim this vision, what it means to be the second years of Christ, is that we'll reclaim our superpowers. Because if it may not seem like superpowers from, you know, I just need to be a nice person. But I'm suggesting there's more to it than that. That to be a disciple maker means to not only be a believer in Christ, but to claim the power of God's word and spirit. A witnessing, being able to talk about our faith in ways that make sense, not pushy, but ways that make sense for us about what Jesus did for us. Being able to witness to our faith, to be able to give financially for the work of God, to be able to give our time. You see, we've got some of the pieces there in terms of what we do. If we were to see that in light of a vision of being the disciple makers being sent out into the world, I think we would begin to see the work that we do in a different light. And I think it would be very, very interesting indeed. And it's what the world needs to hear. Power of God working in us. We just say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. As the St. Michael and all the angels and all the saints who have gone before us cheer us on in this revisioning of what it means to be disciples and makers of Christ, I pray that we wouldn't have to worry about what cape we're wearing or not wearing, not with our physical appearance. We wouldn't worry about that. But we look to the Master and look to those who are disciple makers around us and reclaim what it means to be people sent on a mission. I think that's a vision worth embracing. I believe it's part of why I was sent here. And the Revive course is there, as I mentioned. Does anybody here do email? Raise your hand if you do email. Email, stick your hand up. Okay. Does your email have a little icon that has a little, as you're about to send, it has a little icon in it. It looks like a paper airplane or some kind of, okay. So when you take your mouse and you, or however you click on something, when you click on that icon, what happens to it?
Send it.
It what? Send. Okay, so with me, would you just pretend you're clicking on that and we're going to send it? Ready? Send it. One more time? Send it. The disciple makers, superheroes, into the world. To be salt and light.